Today, let us discuss the letter Gimel. Gimel. Now, first thing is, we know that the letter Gimel is part of the set of Beged Kosef.
Oh, yes.
Beged Kosef are the letters which have dots. They have dots. Now, any letter which has a dot, according to the tradition of the Ashkenazim, there is a difference between the way the letter is pronounced with a dogish and without a dogish. Vez, base, chof, kof. Soft, tough. That's how they taught me in first grade and whatever it was. But the Sardin, there is no distinction between. We know that there is no distinction. But even the Sardin will tell you that even though there is no distinction, but there really is a distinction. It's just that it's such a fine difference, right. It's hard to pronounce. It's hard to pick up. You have to be a Baki Muflag. And we discussed yesterday with the concept of Nasati Esev Bisadicha. If it's Esev Bisadicha, then you can make a mistake. But if it's Esev, you can't make a mistake. And the Gemara says you have to be careful. You have to be careful. It must be that it's a seb bisadcha. That appears to be a proof to the Sardim that there really is no difference between the pronunciation of a dot and not a dot. However, the Gra talks about this, or the article of the Gra here, that there really, even according to the Sardim, even according to that tradition where there's no difference, there is some very small difference. And that's why the Gemara says you have to be careful, but let's put that aside. But the point I want to make over here is that the letter Gimel is part of this set of letters of Beged Kosef, which means, according to the Ashkenazim, there is and there should be a difference in the pronunciation between a Gimel without a Dogesh and a Gimel with a Dogesh. What is the difference? I had a very good Rebbe, Tzoros Tiktuk in Chaim Berlin, Rabbi Lenchitz. He's a very big authority. He wrote a very chosher sefer called Mafteach Adeles, very chosher sefer, and he's Rabbi Lenchitz, he should be good and well. What?
Yeah, I think his wife was a well-known teacher.
Could be. And he taught us that it's really Rimmel. It's a Rimmel and Gimel. The real way to pronounce the letter Rimmel without a dot is Rimmel. With a dot, it's Gimel. So we pronounce all of our Rimmels as if there is a dogish Gimel. But just like there's a vase and a base, there is a chaf and a kaf, there is a saf and a taf, there is a rimmel, like a resh.
But a gimel doesn't get a dog.
What? It does. Look at the sitter. What? Beged kosef. Beged kosef is a letter. Sometimes the letter has, depending on the rules of grammar, if it comes after a tenu gedoyla, then it gets a dogish. Tenu katana does not get a dogish. A kamitz katan will not have a dogish. The rules of grammar, they're not going to that. I don't know anything about that anyway, but basically when there is a dot, it's rimmel. When there's no dot, it's rimmel. When there's a dot, it is gimel. I'll give you another example, even though that's not today's letter, the letter dalet. It's really dalet, the th, and dalet. Beged is also one of the osios degushos. So it's dalet and dalet. We kriyashma, Hashem Elokeinu, it has to be marich in the dalet. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. How in the world can you be marich in the letter dalet? Impossible. But it's not a dalet degusha. It's a dalet refuya. It's Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And we don't pronounce it correctly. We pronounce everything today. The way we pronounce is corrupt. Our pronunciation of the Hebrew language is for us, the Ashkenazim, and for everyone it's corrupt. It's a modern Hebrew is the corruption of everyone, of all the problems put together. It's the ultimate corruption of the language. Not everyone knows that way. But the point is, Gimel is a Rimmel, and there is a Gimel. See, I'm looking over here in the Leinu. Al Kain the Kavaluch Hashem Alkein Liros Mirab Bisavers Lahavir Gilulim. Beginning of the word Gilulim. It's a dot. Dugusha Gimel Gilulim. But if we go further in Aleinu, let me try to find another Gimel here in Aleinu. Okay, can't find another Gimel. When you need it, you can't find it.
Absolutely.
But the point is, I want to bring out that important point. Okay, now let's go further. Gimel. Gimel represents the concept of stability. We all know that tripod, anything that you want to be firmly secure, needs three legs. In fact, three legs is better than four legs. Because four legs, if one is a little bit off, then the table wobbles. But when you have three legs, it's a tripod that is represents the ultimate form of security. And it's for that reason we have all over There are a million examples in Chazal, just to run through everything. Everything in Yadus is based on three. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Besides the deeper meaning of what each one of those words represents, what it means, the concepts, there are three Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Let me tell you the famous Gemara. You can't learn the letter Gilim without quoting the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Peches. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gave a Torah of three parts. Torah Nevi'im Kesuvim, to a nation that is broken into three. Kohanim Levi'im Yisraelim, through a person who is the third of the womb. Moshe, who was the third after Aaron, Miriam, and Aaron, then is Moshe. That also represents that the leaders of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were three major leaders. There was a team. There was a trial. It was Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam to Klal Yisrael. On which day? On the third day of Sivan. Sivan is the third day of the month. The third day of the month. What? The third month of the year. The third month of the year. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. And on the third day, Hashem told Moshe, Kidshu, 3 days. Ki layoim hashlishi, on the third day, Hashem will appear, will descend on the mountain and give the Torah. So it was on the third day of the third month when Hashem told Moshe to get ready for 3 days to receive the Torah that has three parts to be given to the nation, that has three parts through Moshe, who was the third born. So we see that everything about the Torah, about Klal Yisrael, does represent this concept of number three. Why? Why? Because everything spiritual has a physical representative, has a physical parallel, a trickle-down effect of spirituality to physicality, because three represents stability. Al shloisha dvarim ha'oilam oimed, al ha'toyra ve'alavoyd ve'al gemilas chasodim. Klal Yisrael has three midos. They're by shanim, they're goyim lechasodim, and they are, what was the third? Klal Yisrael, Rachmonim, Baishonim, and Goyim Lechasadim. So we see over here this thing. We also know that Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kudsha, Brichu, Chadhi. So we see this concept of three. Wherever you turn, you can't get away from the concept of even the Amar Avinu, he planted an Eshel. The principle of Chesed is what? Achila, Shesia, and Leviah. Three things. He planted an Eshel. So Gimel, which represents the concept of Gomel Chassadim, is the number three. So this is an extremely important principle to understand. Three represents stability. A human being, if we think about it, a human being only stands on two legs. And that means by nature humans are weak. They need to balance. So when we person who wields the Mifloys Habore, the only reason why we're able to stand straight, vertical, is because we are constantly balancing ourselves. We're using our mind to put ourselves in balance, because inherently a human being is weak. In order to stand firm, to have a solid foundation, you need three. One is nothing. You tip over in 1 second. Two is a little bit better, because you can balance one against the other, but it's nothing like three. Three is stability, and that is a very interesting concept. A person has two legs, and three is stability. Now the problem though is, once you have stability, you have a very solid foundation. This is a very big principle which we'll come to in a few moments. Person can come with a gaiva. Gaiva, because once a person is firm and is established, doesn't need to balance, I'm secure, I'm here to stay, no one can push me over, I have a solid foundation. That's what the letter Gimel does represent to a very great degree in a lot of the Svarim, the concept of Gaiva. I'll give you an example. The Hiskalach. What is the process of tahara? There are three people that are required to shave off every hair in their body. The eyebrows, the hair on the legs, you name it. Three people: a nazir, a mitzayra, and a levian. The Levium, so the middle pasuk in the Torah, the Chazal tells us that the middle pasuk in the Torah is the pasuk of the parsha of the Mitzora, the Hiskalach, the Yes. What does the pasuk say in the Torah of Balkari? The Hiskalach, the Yes. Neze es a Nesek loyikalech. The loyikalech, but the Nesek you don't shave off, but the whole body has to shave off his hair, the Hiskalach. So we learn from this concept that the shaving of the hair brings upon a person, there's a very big gimel. Shaving off the hair for the Mitzorah, for the Levi who comes and enters the fold, that's his passage, his rite of passage. And for Whereas the Levi, the Mitzayra, and what was the third? And who was the third one? The Levi?
Nazir.
And the Nazir? It represents a humility. And the humility has to have to remove the gaiva. That's why the letter Gimel is very large to emphasize what are you trying to accomplish? You're trying to remove that Gimel, that gaiva that is within a person. Now, to prove this point, this is an amazing insight. I couldn't believe when I saw this. You all say, L'David Hashem Oiri. Right? Everyone says L'David Hashem Oiri. You say how many times? You say it from the beginning of Elul all the way through the day before Simchas Torah, up to Simchas Torah, and V'lo Yad
B'chlal.
Twice a day. Either Shachris, Mincha, Shachris, Marid, depending on Nischa, Zaz, or Shnat. Did you ever realize? I never knew this until last night. Did you ever realize that every single letter of the Aleph Beis appears in the Mizmor L'David Hashem Oiri except for one letter? The letter Gimel. It's the only letter of the Aleph Beis that is missing L'David Hashem Ori. What's the pshat? I saw one of the sermons, and because the whole theme of L'David Hashem Ori is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Achas, which really is summarized in Achas Shu'alti Me'es Hashem O'Savake Shifti B'Veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai Lachazos B'Noyim Hashem L'Vake Me'Echalo. If you want to really be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's team, to be in the Beis Medrash, to be part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one thing you can't have, Gaiva. There's no Gimel. There's no gaiva before Ein Geus Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is out. You want to sit in the base medrash? Gaiva has no makom in the middle of that. Is the only letter that is missing from this mizmor L'David Hashem Oriah. I'll give you another example. The shame. Now I don't know. I have no idea what this is, but you all know something called the shame Hashem that has 72 letters. We know the shame Hashem of 4 letters. Yud Kei Vav Kei. We say pronounce it. Loi Kesh Ani Nikra Ani Nichtav Yud Kei Vav Kei. And we pronounce it Adnus, and then there's Hef, there's Yud Kei, Ka, Kibukah Hashem Sur Alamim, Yod Al Kei Ska. But there's also these mystical things which we really don't know anything about. The Shem that has 72 letters. You see it in the article Machzor on the Yamim Noiraim. Every so often it says Mechavan, this name, that name, you look, who knows what these things are, no one knows, but there's something, and this name is made from 3 psukim. There are 3 psukim that appear by Kriyas Yamsuf, and you take those 3 psukim, you line them up, one on top of the other, and then you split it by 3, and you somehow create this name of 72 letters, which again, Ein Lanu Esek Bin Nistaros. But if you look at that name, you will notice every single letter of HaKadosh Baruch of the Aleph Beis appears in the Shem of Ayin Beis, except for the letter Gimel. The letter Gimel is always absent. It's absent because by HaKadosh Baruch Hu there's no gaiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he associates himself, Gimel represents, he cannot tolerate gaiva. When we say the Shem Hashem, we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any shemets of gaiva. Yeah. That's our sing. When we sing to Hashem, when we praise Hashem, the first word of Shemona Esrei, Akel HaGodol. When we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when we want to connect to Him, the Shem Hashem, these are mystical things, is our connection to Him. We have to humble ourselves to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And even when we humble ourselves to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we cannot come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any tinge of gaiva. I'll give you another. So there's already 2 major things where all the letters appear except for the Gimel. L'David Hashem Ori and the shame of Yud Gimel, the shame of 72 letters. Now, by the way, the letter Gimel is the only letter in the entire Aleph Beis that has 4 letters, that you need 4 letters to spell the letter. Aleph, Lamed, Pei. Beis, Yud, Tov. Dalit, Lamed, Tov, Dalit, Delis. The only letter in the entire Aleph Beis that needs 4 letters is the letter Gimel.
But you can spell Gimel without.
You can leave out the Yud, but it's not done. It's commonly spelled with the Yud. It's brought down. This is not my Vart. I saw this in Rechil Mechel Stern. He quotes this. It's the only letter that's commonly you use the letter. I think in the Gemara it says, Aloif, the Gemara talks to the Gemara Mesech Shabbos. The Gemara Darshan's letters, I'm not sure. I think the Gemara describes the letter Gimel. There's no Nekudo, so they add the Yud in order to fill in for the vowels. But it is unique. And this is a beautiful idea. What does it stand for? To bring out this point, the Rashi Tevos of Gimel, Hashem Moloch Geus Lovesh. Gimel represents gaiva. There's a gaiva of the Kedusha and a gaiva that's of Tumah. But it represents that the letter Gimel by definition is it's not in the right order. Gimel, so that's not a kasha. I got used to that. You know, when I was very young, it disturbed me that if you tell me a Rashi Tevos and it's not in order, oh, what is this? I got over it. Gimel. I made peace with it. Gimel. Gimel Yud Mem Lamed. So the Yud is Hashem. Then comes, then the Mem is the middle letter. Geus. And the Lamed, the last letter, is Lavesh. Hashem Moloch Geus Lavesh. Because Gimel does represent Gaiva, and there's no Geus of Nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why you cannot have, there cannot be this letter Gimel in the Shem Hashem, there cannot be this letter Gimel in L'Dovid Hashem Ori. And in fact, there are many other examples which I didn't write down, but there are other many examples which the Gimel does not appear, but I think these are two of the most significant, because in these two things that I've given you, all of the other letters appear, and it is the only one that is absent, and that definitely says something very significant. Now, here's a very beautiful idea, which is not necessarily related so much to the letter Gimel. It relates more to the letter Lamed, but being that we'll discuss in Gimel, I think we can discuss it here very quickly. There are only four letters in the entire Aleph Beis that have the letter Lamed. And when you spell it out, when you spell out the letter, you can spell all the letters. There are only four letters. What are the four letters? There is Gimel, obviously, has a letter Lamed. The letter Aleph, Lamed, Pei. The letter Dalit, Deles, the Lamed, Dalis, and the letter Lamed, the first letter of Lamed. Now the word Lamed means Lamod, Lamed, to learn Torah. There are four reasons why people learn Torah. Four reasons. Three of them are not ideal, and one is ideal. The first is Aleph. Aleph means an Aluf. Alufi umi yudohi. Aluf means a chief. Title of honor, a leader. Some people learn for kavod. They want to be called a rabbi. They want the tie. They want the honor. They want everyone to stand up when they walk into the. They love kavod. Delicious, delicious. So when the lamed, there's a lamed in the aleph, because they learn Torah in order to be called an aluf, to be called a chief. Then we have the Lamed and Dalid. Dalid comes from the word Dal. Gemol Dalim. That's really what the Gemara, when the Gemara defines the word Dal, it's Dal is being poor. Parnosa. I can't do very much. I'm not very skilled. I have two thumbs. So, the best I can do is I'll become a Malamed. I'm only being a Malamed not because I really want to do this, because I need Parnasa. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to go on any government program, so I learn Torah not to be Dal. That's not an ideal reason to learn Torah. Then there is the Gimel. Okay, that's really my legitimacy for telling you this Vard here today, because it brings out another idea, I'm going to come to that theme very soon. Gemul. Gimel also represents the concept. Gimel, okay, it's not just the letter. I don't like this one. They tell you, oh, this letter represents this, because it happens to have the first letter. And well, that's not an excuse to go and darsh in a word in reference to a letter. But when the letter itself, Gimel, Mem, Lamed, Gimel, the sharish of the word Gimel means reward, do. You get what you deserve. You get reward and punishment. You get your gimel is gimel. People learn Torah because they want reward. They open up a daf Gemara and it says all these beautiful things. You learn because you want to receive the reward of olam haba gimel. It's also not a good. It's good to learn Lashma. You learn Torah Lashem Shem. Lamed for the sake of Lamed. Lamed to learn for the sake of to be alone, to Lamed, Lamod, Lilmoid, Ulamed, that you should be learn it. You learn for the sake of learning. Very appropriate word over here to learn over here in the Kolel. You learn for the sake of everyone here is only coming for the sake of learning, not for any gemul, not to be an aloif, not to be dal. You learn for the sake. It's a very beautiful idea we have over here. Four, the only four, a beautiful drush, like a geshmaka drush. Only four letters in the entire Aleph Beis which have the letter Lamed, and gimul is gemul. It's not so good. Don't learn for the sake of being of reward. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, I don't have to go tell you that this is just throughout is v'achut hameshulash loy b'mehir. You not take the pasha. That's really part of the concept of the foundation of l'dal. Now let's go to this idea. Now this is not just a simple idea. This is leaking the fact thing, but we have over here the Gra develops this. It's very complicated what the Gra says. I don't understand the depth of what he says, but the basic idea is a famous idea. You all are Masechta Gittin, and a Masechta Gittin, one of the first things, the first homiletic things are mentioned is that why is a bill of divorce called a get? It's not a bizarre word. It's a convention. It was invented by Chazal. It's not anywhere in Tanakh.
Twelve lines.
That only comes after Sibo and that comes after. But why did Chazal invent? Why did Chazal take these two letters, Gimel Tes, and use it as a way to describe a bill of divorce? There's also a document is also sometimes called a get. But why is this term referred to a bill of divorce? So the answer given is because if you study the entire Torah, you will find never ever do you have the letters Gimel and Tes juxtaposed. Never. There's no word in the entire Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh where the letter Gimel and Tes are together. They never come together. So they represent separation. These two letters never. Go take out a computer. Try to find. Never. So they're always separate. They're always far apart. They don't mix. When Rahman al-Islam, a man and woman, separate, it represents separation. That's why Chazal taken what is the concept of separation? The letter Gimel and Tes. A beautiful idea. Now the problem with this idea is, okay, is that guess what? There are other letters in the Torah that don't come together. For example, Gas, Gimel and Samach. Supposedly in the Chav Gimel Sifrei Tanakh, you'll never find the Gimel and Samach next to each other, which itself is a Jewish image of itself because it's a Gaiva. Gas represents inflated. Gaiva. In the Hashem's Torah, there's no Gaiva. There's no Makom for Gaiva when you come to Hashem's Torah. But there are other letters, for example, let me find it. Everything here is all mixed up. Give me one second, please. We have here a Zayin and a Tzadi, a Zayin and a Tes, a Zayin and a Kuf, as a Samach and a Tzadi. Okay, I don't know who figured this out. I don't know who spent the whole day. But there are about four or five, but it appears these some were written before the computer because the Guru already commented on this. So it appears there are about four or five other combinations. Not many, maybe.
Which did you say?
Gimel and a Kuf. Okay. Gimel and a Kuf, a Zayin and a Tes, a Zayin and a Tzadi, and a Samach and a Tzadi. So we have over here other examples where they that really puts a dagger in the vart. Because one thing, if this is the only two letters, they never come together. Okay, then you can say, but if you have already other letters, so I don't know enough about diktuk to give an answer. But the Gra discusses this idea in great depth, and the Gra says that even though those other letters don't come together, it doesn't matter because they're part of the same part of. There are other reasons why they're related. They're related in other ways. He goes through all of the examples. I don't know the details. Those other examples where you have letters that never come together in the Torah, okay, they never come together. But they are close cousins. They're cousins because of the way it comes, the part of the mouth in which it comes out from. Some sounds come from the lips, some come from the throat, some comes from the teeth. There are different parts of the throat which produce sound, and these letters are related, and if they're not related in this way, they're related in another way. There are relationships between those other letters, so it's as if they come together. They're cousins. But Gimel and a Tes, Get, they are not related whatsoever. In no way, shape, or form, there is a uniqueness to these letters which represent complete separation. Now, let me tell you an addendum to this Vart. So I once said over there, when I learned Masechta Gittin, I said over this Vart, as on the seam of the Masechta. Then I said, got into a very heated discussion. We're going to do a discussion about this. Is that the language Yiddish? Is Yiddish a holy language. So, Lacharinat. Yiddish comes from German. I once spent a lot of time studying the source of Yiddish. I don't know Yiddish. I can't speak Yiddish. But you go on Wikipedia, they trace it back exactly where it comes from. It's very interesting. It's German. They could trace it back way, way back. What?
Mid-1300s.
Even earlier, I think. Where does German come from?
Wine fed.
Yeah. Yeah, 1300s?
Rashi didn't speak.
He puts
Yiddish.
It in the middle round, 1350.
But where does it, so Yiddish comes from German, so where does German come from? Where does German originate from? So they try to trace back. So this is an observation, which I don't know if there's any significance. How do you refer to Hashem? The Ribono Shel Olam in Yiddish? Got. How do you spell got? Aleph Tess. And the Aleph is a filler. It's not part of you look at a real dictionary, the Aleph is nothing.
That is correct.
So it's just there to fill it up. It's a filler, it's a vowel, it's a vowel.
Your spelling was revised. It's not anyway.
The way you refer to Hashem is got. Haflevo fella. Yiddish, even if it's not a holy language, it's a Hasidic concept. The Jews have sanctified it. Like a lot of the marches, Napoleon marches.
It is a mamalosh.
A lot of music has been Judified, has been sanctified. Yiddish has been sanctified to a certain degree. You can't say not. To a certain degree it has become. And got hello davar, that the only two letters which, according to the Gra and according to this idea, get a bill of divorce is get, because it represents the ultimate divorce. And the Gra elaborates. Don't make any mistake and think that this is not a good var. This is a very good var, because even the other exceptions where you have letters that don't come together, I'll show you they're related anyway. They have other relationships, but Gimel has no relationship. So what is Gimel? It represents complete separation. Are you talking? The Ribono Shel Olam is called got. Haloi Dover, is it not? You can't say it's a coincidence. What is the significance? So it's something to think about what it means. But what it does. But I think one approach to if we were to suggest that there is some significance, we can work with this approach. Is that Yiddish is the language of Golus? That's one thing. It's clear. It's a Golus language. We used to speak Hebrew, Lashon Kodesh, or Aramaic. Aramaic definitely has Shirashim of Kedusha going back to the Torah. Yiddish from the 1300s. So we're dealing over here 600 years. We're dealing over here with a very a Golus language which kept our Shinuas Lashonim. They didn't change their language. It identifies a Jew as a Jew. What is Golus? Golus is V'anochi Haster Aster Parnai. I will hide myself. I will distance myself from you. Golus, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hides himself, where he distances himself from Klal Yisrael. But the recognition is got. Even in the ultimate Hester Panim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is far, far away from us, Hashem is there. Hashem got Gimel Tes, which represents separation, also refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the Hester upon him, Imoinochi Betzara. I'm also with you. Okay, this is an observation, something to think about. Again, the points are Gimel Tess is unique, they never appear together, and the Gra elaborates, there's no relationship, and that's why a bill of divorce is called a get. Haloi Davar, that in Yiddish, which is the language of Klal Yisrael for the last number hundreds of years, 600-700 years, it is the Golus language. The way we refer to Hashem is got, precisely with these two letters, Haloi Davar, there's something there to think about, to develop, and to expand upon. Yeah.
Story about a rabbi or a reverend, and every time he would perform a marriage,
yeah,
and he loved money, he always used to tell the couple after the ceremony, Zolzan Segitin.
Ooh, what a line. Okay. Now, one other thing I've got to mention to you is that there are three psukim in the Torah that mention Hashem's right hand. What are the three psukim? Mimino, Eish Daslam. When Hashem's right hand is a fiery, that pasuk, the whole pasuk. Another pasuk, Yimincha Hashem Neder Bakoach. And what's the first pasuk?
Followed by Yimincha Hashem
Neder Bakoach. Notis Yimincha. These three psukim, if I'm not mistaken, the only three psukim in the entire Torah that mention Hashem's right hand, the Chamish Shechem Shei Torah, have all the letters of the Aleph Beis, with the exception of the Gimel. Another example where the Gimel is is conspicuously absent, because when Hashem's yimin represents koichiv might, there's no gaiva. It's not the way we think. You think a person sticks out his right hand, I'm gonna crush you. By Hashem, Hashem's yimin does not come with gaiva. It's a different type of yimin. Okay, another idea we're talking about gittin. This is a very interesting idea. Everyone knows the Chazal that Rachmana, when a person divorces his first wife, the mizbech is moira demos. Everyone heard that Chazal. What does that mean exactly? A mizbech is even, mizbech avonim is stone. Stone is so far removed from water, from moisture. It's moira demos. So it represents that it's something which is so horrible. Even stone, mizbech avonim, or it rings out here. Okay, there's a lot of drush, but something interesting relating to the letter Gimel is that in the entire parsha of the Tumid, Tumid is the ikar carbon that you bring on the Mizbech. Tumid shal shaka, Tumid shal bam. We learned in the Neil about that when the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, what's the korban of the Beis HaMikdash? The Tumid, the Bittul HaTumid. In the entire parsha of the Tumid, the letters Gimel, the only are two letters that don't appear. The Gimel and the Tes, Get. Those two letters do not appear. Amazing. All letters appear in the parsha, not Gimel and Tes, to bring out this idea, the same idea, that a person gives a get to his wife, so the Mizbeach is Morid Demos. Why? Because the Mizbeach is Rochok from get. The Haraya, the Mizbeach, which is the recipient of the Tumid, the Ikur carbon of the Beis HaMikdash, Tumid Shal Shachar, Tumid Shal Ben Arboim, have no Shaychas to this. How could such a terrible thing happen? The male is Bedafka, the Mizbeach, that is Morid Demos. Okay, another idea. This is an interesting idea we have here in the Gemara Mesech, everyone in the Gemara Mesech, the Shabbos. Daf Tzadi, I think it is, Tzadi Ches. I forgot already the Gemara, where the Gemara is. The Gemara talks about the Gemara Darshan's all of the letters of the Aleph. The Gemara is a very unusual introduction. Kuftalit? Kuftalit. The Gemara has a very unusual introduction to the letters of Aleph. The Gemara tells us that they came from the Beis Medrash today, and they said things that even in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun were not said. Let me see if I can find the exact lashon of the Gemara. I have it here somewhere. They entered to the Beis Medrash and they said things afil bimos Yehoshua ben Nun were not said. Okay, I can't find it here, but oh, here it is. Also, dar dekeh idna lebe medrasha. Children have come into the Beis Hakneses. The armu mile afilu. The time of Yehoshua ben Nun were not said. And then the Gemara goes on to darshan. Aleph Beis, Gimel Dal. Aleph Beis means Aleph Bin, a learned Torah. Gimel Dalit, Gimel Dalim. Be generous, bestow kindness upon the poor. Have off. Zesh Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth. Then the Gemara says something very strange. The first one is very, what's Yehoshua ben Nun? What is he doing here? Also, Dardehu Idna, Lebe Midrasha, V'yarmu Mili Afilu Bimei Yehoshua ben Nun. How did Yehoshua ben Nun get into the picture here? So the Gemara says Gimel Dalet. In the letter Gimel, the Gemara starts, it says something different than does not say about the other letters. It describes the tzura of the Gimel and the Dalet. The Gimel has its foot extended to the Dalet, and the Dalet has its face facing away. And the Gemara says this is the tzura of giving tzedakah. The Goymel, the Oshir, should run after the poor. Should be kind, but should not embarrass the poor. Should give it to him from behind. The Dalit should not be looking at the Goymel when he gives him the money, so that the Dal, the poor, should not be embarrassed when he takes a handout from the Goymel. The Gemara darshins these letters. It's a very big problem. This is only true in Ksav Ashuris. The Gimel has the foot extended to the Dalit only in Ksav Ashuris, and the Dalit faces away from the Gimel only in Ksav Ashuris. But in Ksav Ivri, no such thing. This whole thing doesn't exist. So that's the answer. The Gemara wants to point out that he never said such chidushim even from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, because during the kibush of Eretz Yisrael, when Yehoshua was the kibush rishon, who was the kibush sheni? Ezra. When did they institute Ksav Ashuris? Ezra. But when the kibush rishon of Yehoshua and everything that followed from the time of Yeshua, there was no Ksav Ashuris. So the Dard, he couldn't have possibly expounded upon the Oseos of the Aleph Beis in such a fashion. It was in disuse. It was a Kabbalah. It was not used. No one knew about the Ksav Ashuris until it was only in the Luchos. It was hidden away. It was only until the time of Ezra. Kibosheni. Mimela. Now you have an appreciation of why the Gemara Bedafka focused on Yehoshua ben Nun. They have not said such profound ideas since the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. They did not say, even in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, such profound ideas about the Aleph Beis. And I want to discuss, the Gimel Dal, and this is a very fascinating insight, is we know that the middle of the Sefer Torah is the Pasuk that the Gemara says, even though according to our calculation it's not, but according to the Gemara says that the middle of the Torah in Pesukim is the Pasuk V'Hiskalach, that the Metzora has to shave off his hair and leave the Nesek alone. That's the middle of the Torah. In the middle of the Torah, in that Pasuk, which is the middle Pasuk of the Torah, there is a supersized Gimel. And the Sefer Torah is a very big Gimel. Then the Gemara goes on and says, what is the middle of the middle of the words of the Torah? Dorosh Dorash Moshe. Now what is the significance of Dorosh Dorash? They both begin with a Dalet. There is an emphasis on the letter Dalet. Dorosh Dorash. They both start with the same letter. So the Mepharshim say, this is a center. There's a center of Psukim and a center of words. And what's the significance of the center of the Pesukim? Is a big Gimel. And what is the emphasis in the center of words? Dalet. What does Gimel and Dalet say together? What's the Gemara interpret? How does the Gemara interpret the significance of the letters Gimel and Dalet? Gimel Dalim. Bestow. Be kind. Bestow good. Do chesed. Gimel Dal. Be good to the poor. This is the pnimis of the Torah. The Torah, the whole essence of the Torah is to be a goymel upon someone that's less fortunate. Yeah?
I don't know where it is, but there's a phrase or a pasuk with three gimels. God gedud yevudenu.
So three gimels in a row. Gvaldik. I never thought of that. I never saw that. Inside. Very good. So there must be some significance that God gedud, God your good, God your good
God
gedud yevudenu.
Okay.
Very good. So this is something that is this peninus of the Torah is Goymel Dalim. What do we say in Shemona Esrei? Akel Avraham, okay Avraham, okay Yitzchak, okay Yaakov, and then what do we conclude? Baruch Hashem, Magen Avraham. Why Avraham? Because Avraham is Chesed. Yitzchak is Avoida. Yaakov is Zemes, Torah. When will B'choch Chosman, the Geula will come? Not in the Schus of Yitzchak and Yaakov. We go back, Magen Avraham, which alludes to the Chasima. The Geula, the Chasima of this world will come in the Schus of Avraham, whose Mida is Chesed, the Mida of Goymel Dalim. Okay, what are the other thing about Gimel? Gimel represents, Gimel is Gomel, a camel. And these are just raw ideas. I don't know the significance is that when Yitzchak wanted to test, not Yitzchak, when Eliezer wanted to test Rivka, if she's an appropriate zivug, so the test was really with the Gomel. The Gomel, she wanted to see if she was a Goymelis Chesed. And how did she prove herself? The Gam Ligmalecha Ashke. Who will be the girl that will offer me that? And she'll, the real, to me, it's no big deal. That's minhanimos, to give someone who's coming from the road, you give him something to drink. But the Gam Ligmalecha Ashke, to give the camels? So it was a test. Was she a Goymel Dalim to the Gomel? There's a double emphasis on the Gomel. What is the significance? I do not know. But now, also, what about another? Now, we mentioned before that the Gomel represents Gaiva. Right, Gomel, Gimel, Hashem, Moloch. Why? Is because Hashem, Moloch, Geus, Lovish. Somehow the Gimel, even though it's not, but that's why the Gimel does not appear in the Shem Hashem, does not appear in the three times it says Yimincha Hashem, does not appear in, what was the third thing I told you, does not appear in Lodav Hashem Ori. Gimel represents Gaiva, is always absent when it comes to certain things, which means Gaiva has no Malkam. In the kosher animals, just this Rav Mecho will know inside out, what is the Gomel symbolic of? In the different types of non-kosher animals, so it's a very popular medrash that the gomel represents bavel, right?
Yes.
The bavel in parashas, which parashas is it? Parashas
Shmini.
What Shmini? Shmini. So the Shmini, we have a Shmini of all the animals. There's a Medrash that tells us various animals, what the various animals, which one of the Malchios, of the Dalet Malchios, does latter. Gomel, which is Gimel, relates to Bavel. And there are numerous references that Bavel represents from all the nations, Gaiva. Nebuchadnezzar said, we know this, Adamelo Elion. He gets the cake. For the ultimate Gaiva, Nebuchadnezzar said, Adamelo Elion. I will be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do see again this idea that Gimel, with this theme, echoes, it repeats itself throughout Chazal. The Gimel represents Gimel. Now, another very beautiful drush I saw from Rav in the Sefer Kodesh Gadol from Rav Weinberger. This was the Rav of the Young Israel of Williamsburg. So he says that why is there, he's a drush, why is there a large Gimel? There's a lot of why is there a large Gimel in the Hiskalach in the Torah? It's the only large Gimel. There's another large Gimel in I don't think it's part of our Masorah, but it's part when we write it in Sifrei Torah, the way it's written today, there's a very large Gimel in the Pasuk Hiskalach. Why? So the Mefarsh, the Rishonim, said there are three people who have to shave. We mentioned, even though the parasha deals with the Mitzayra, the Nazir also has to shave, and the Levim had to shave off their bodies. So the Gimel, the large Gimel, to allude to the three people who have to shave. Also, they have to shave three times. Some of them, the Mitzayra has to shave his body three times. There are different allusions why they're Gimel. The one that I really like the most is from Rabbi Weinberger. It alludes to the Minig of Upsherins. A child, the Hiskalach. When do you take the child and shave off his hair and leave over the Peyos HaRosh? When he's 3 years old. So the Hiskudrush for Upsherin. The Hiskalach, the large Gimel of the Hiskalach. Okay, also Gimel Dal is another nice little cute Levada. Zilpa called one of her children
God.
Why? Not really, it was Leah. It was Leah who was Leah. Why did she call God for some? This is brought down by some of the Rishonim. The reason why she called him God was because she recognized that she did with Zilpa a very big chesed. Zidush, Leah did not have to give Zilpa to Yaakov as a wife. It was a very great kindness, act of kindness, that she is just a shifra. And according to some of the Mefarshim, she was her sister. She was actually, that Zilpa was the daughter of Lavan through a Pilegesh. And she wasn't meant to marry Yaakov. It was a great act of kindness on the part of Leah to give over Zilpa to Yaakov in marriage, to upgrade her to a wife. And she had a child. And to commemorate this act of kindness, the kindness that you can do, make someone a shidduch. The kindness, the ultimate kindness that you can do for a person is to make for them a zivuk. And to commemorate that she went and she took her child, her shifra, as a chesed, to marry her off, to make a zivuk, she named the child God. Goymel Dalin. So that is fascinating. The whole name of the person represents chesed. What's the chesed? I made for you a shirach. I was mezaveg you to my husband. What?
No, Rachel gave a shirach.
First, Rachel.
First,
and Bilhah.
They had two children.
Right. And then.
Having children.
So then Leah already had her own children. See, Rachel didn't need to do it. What?
She was upset.
But it was a much greater chesed. Rachel only gave Bilhah because she wanted a child. I don't have any children, so let me be the foster mother of a child. Let me adopt a child. How did you adopt a child in ancient times? I will provide a surrogate mother. So she did.
But it would have been a bigger chesed.
Yeah.
If she would have wished that Rachel with a shifra had six compared to us six.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, but Rachel had a need for Bilhah to give over Bilhah because she wanted a child. She could not have her own child. She gave her. Leah had already four children, right? I have children. I don't need. I have Rachel. You have from Bilhah two children. Shalom al Yisrael. We don't need to have more children. We have. But look, I have over here this girl Zilpah. And she's sitting here all alone. She's an old maid. I have children. Rachel can't have children. It's not my problem. Bilhah already has a child. And the only other old woman that's left over in this household is Zilpah. She has no children. So, okay, so she has no children. So she won't get married. It's a big deal. It's not right. I want her to have a chelek also. I want to do with her kindness. Incredible insight. gave her a child, gave her, you can marry Yaakov also. And we're going to commemorate this act, selfless act, by calling the child God. Goy Mel Dal. Incredible insight into why he was called God. According, this is brought down by, I think it's brought down by Rabbeinu Ephraim in the Balit, the Das Zikain from the Balit Tosis, the back of the Rishonim, the back of the Mikros Kedolos. There is the Das Zikainim. They quote often from Rabbeinu Ephraim, and I think there this idea is said there. It's from, this comes from the Rishonim. Okay, I believe I have covered everything I wanted to tell you. Let me give one quick look. Okay. Okay. Okay, that's pretty. There are a few little things here, but I think we got in the basics of the letter Gimel. So what comes next?